forgotten about, brought back out, passed around, received back, tossed to the side again, unopened all the way. Christmas is many things to many people, but sadly few open the gift of Christmas. They don't see the importance of the child in the manger. That first Christmas, the year that Jesus, God's own son, came to earth, was no different. People were preparing for a census, for more years of pain and misery. There was little joy. In fact, I would suggest there was plenty of distraction and only a little sight of devotion. People were burdened, busy, blind to God's gift to them. Not much has changed. In the midst, though, there were some who were preparing to receive God's gift, some who acted in faith and were obedient to God's call. So this evening, let me share a few words as we think about Luke chapter 2 together about the birth of our Savior. Let's be thinking on faith and obedience, preparing to receive God's gift. Let me just read those words in Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Two key words I've mentioned already that sum up this time: distraction and devotion. As we begin Luke chapter 2, we find that distraction. Caesar Augustus calling a census, everybody having to move and to go somewhere. We find distraction in three main ways. The burden of the people. We're pointed at the outset to a Roman ruler, to Caesar Augustus. He's taken control of the entire Roman Empire. He's now the single most powerful man in much of the civilized world. He was offered many titles, but settled for that one, Augustus, that means of the gods. He wanted people to view him as a god. We're reminded, too, that Rome rules the world. Israel is a land under occupation. Foreign powers have taken over. And with that, there is a burden. The tribute had to be paid to the conquering nation. And so here, Caesar calls for a census. He wants people to head to their own towns so that he can register them. He wants to get a list of who's who and where they come from. In all likelihood, he wanted them registered so that he could tax them. He wanted to exact even more from them. The people are burdened, they're oppressed, they're discouraged. They are sinking deeper and deeper into despair. They're longing for a change, for a way out. They're longing for the promised Messiah years before promised to them to come and to free them from this tyranny. Yet incredibly, through this act of wanton power and a desire to collect more from the people and keep them in abject poverty, to keep them subject to him, Caesar was actually working out God's amazing plan. He calls for people right across the Mediterranean regions under Roman rule to return home. And that message hits a remote village called Nazareth. And a humble carpenter has to up sticks and head home to Bethlehem, the city of David, with his pregnant wife. Jesus, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem, just as the prophets foretold, just as God planned. What at first appeared to be a great show of Caesar's power actually proved the supremacy of God's sovereignty. We also ought to recognize the busyness of people. Everyone had to return to their own town to register. That meant packing up. It meant heading on a journey. It meant leaving work and home for a spell to journey elsewhere. For Joseph, it meant a trip home to Bethlehem. Back then, Bethlehem was a busy and a bustling place. Everyone was crowded into the town for the census that had been called. Everyone had to return to their own town to register. And so the place was mobbed. I grew up in a little place called Creef. And Creef is one of those places where you grow up and then you leave. You have to go somewhere else to find work, or at least most people do. And so if a census was called now like it was back then in Caesar's time, everyone who had grown up and left would have to return to Creef. The place would be mobbed, everybody cramming into what little space they could find. And people would be talking and they'd be sharing and they'd be catching up on how their lives had turned out. And into that setting, Mary and Joseph found themselves with a newborn baby. People too busy to see what was right in front of them. And of course, not just a burden and a busyness, but the blindness of people as well. Joseph's family belonged to the line of David. The hometown of David was Bethlehem. And so Joseph had to go there to register. Mary pledged to be married to him, expecting a child. What a difficult journey for them then to take. And yet the decree had to be obeyed. And they journeyed from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And on arriving, it was so busy that they clearly struggled to find somewhere to stay, because it says in verse 6 that when the time came for the baby to be born and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, it says that she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. No room. And so he's placed in a manger, an animal's feeding trough. And there is the presumption there that they settled in a stable, in an outhouse where the animals were kept. They sheltered there. No one saw this heavily pregnant woman. No one recognized the babe that she gave birth to, hidden away, out of sight, out of mind. People distracted in so many ways back then. Caught up with so many other things. Some are important, but some less so. Weighed down with worry and anxiety, they're lost and they don't have the time to look up. They're blind to what is going on right in front of them. And that is true for many still today. For many, we are weighed down with worry over finances, over family, and yes, even food for placing on the table. We're anxious about family feuds, worried about work, concerned about health matters. We are simply burdened. We're also lost in thought over this and that and the next thing, none of which are actually all that important. Lost in the busyness of life with no time to stop and look around or indeed look up. And yes, we are blind to simple things right in front of us as we go rushing through life with our blinkers on. Distraction, distracted by so many things. And yet in the midst of the distraction for so many, we find the devotion here of a few. Verse 6, we read that Joseph went there to register with Mary. They went to that place. We find the devotion of a submissive couple. Joseph and Mary were pledged to be married. A couple of Sundays ago, we thought on the anxious consideration, the angelic confrontation, and the assured commitment of this pair. So looking forward to their wedding, when during the engagement, Mary learned that she had found favor with God and she had been chosen to carry his son. She's shocked. She asked how this could be. But then on hearing the news, she exclaims, "I'm the Lord's servant, may it be to me," humbly submitting to God's plan. Joseph does exactly the same. And having submitted to their heavenly Lord and King, now they submit to their earthly masters and make that journey, that long journey to their hometown to register. Submission, submissive couple, dedicated, devoted to God and to the things of God. We find too a redemptive son. Verse 7 says that she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And this, of course, was no ordinary child. This is God's own son come to take on human flesh and live among us. Mary and Joseph are told to name him Jesus because he will save his people. And the shepherds are told in verse 11, "Today a Savior has been born to you." This is the Messiah spoken of by the prophets long ago. This is the one who will save his people. This is a child who grew to lay down his life for many. And even the very titles given to him by the angels there in verse 11 speak of who he is: Savior, Christ, Lord. A Savior is a deliverer, someone who rescues his people from death and destruction. He's also the Christ. That term meant Messiah, which signifies the Lord, the Savior that God had promised to send. Literally, it means the Anointed One. And he's also referred to as Lord, a term of honor, pointing to his deity and to his sovereign rule over their lives. Jesus is Savior, he's Messiah, he's Lord. He's a redemptive son who would grow to be devoted to his task. And you know, in the midst of that, we find a receptive few as well. So many were burdened, so many were busy, so many were blind. But some shepherds on a hillside saw an angel. They heard his message and they received it well. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people today. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And that angelic reception blew their minds. But these ordinary, hard-working souls heard the message loud and they heard it clear. A Savior had been born. And so they left their posts and headed straight to find the baby. That's what it says in verse 15. "Let's go to Bethlehem," they said, "and see this thing that has happened that the Lord has told us about." What do you and I do with news like that? With an invitation like that? Well, we try and analyze it, work it out. Could it be true? Doubt it is, and then just carry on with what we're doing. We're blind. Or we look at what's going on around us and decide that we're too busy to go just now. We'll go later on. We're busy and we're burdened. The shepherds were devoted to God, devoted to responding to his word. And they went and they saw the most amazing sight, everything just as they had been told. And they left praising God. Friends, this Christmas, as we ponder God's gift, are we distracted or are we devoted? Are we distracted by the burdens of life, the struggles we're facing? Are we too busy planning and preparing Christmas that we miss God's gift? Are we blind to what is in front of us, like the couple with the gift in the video that we watched? Or are we devoted to God, submissive to him, receiving the gift of life through his son? I pray that we will take time to open the gift and rejoice in the Christ, who is what Christmas is actually all about. Let's pray together, shall we? Loving God, we want to thank you for that most precious gift. We pray that you would forgive us for the times that we get distracted, when we look around, when we're too busy, when we're too burdened, when we're too blind. Lord, this year would you help us to be devoted to you, Would you help us to take time to stop and to remember what Christmas is all about? Would you help us to receive your gift of love to the world? Would you help us to celebrate the birth of Christ, our Savior and Redeemer? Father God, may we take time to ponder the words. May we take time to think on that gift of love to the world. Lord, we long to be devoted to you. We long to honor you and to live for you. So receive our praise this evening and our thanks for that most wonderful gift. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.